Test-taking produces a peculiar silence. Every sound becomes deliberate and magnified. Even the tapping of a foot sends a signal. I briefly wondered if it would be feasible to grade a test simply by watching the behavior of the test takers. There would always be anomalies, but I felt fairly certain I could deduce the performance of each student within a few percentage points. Clarence, for example, tapped his finger against the side of his seat when he was uncertain about an answer. I had observed this enough times to note it as a consistent behavior. However, not everyone showed such obvious tells, or I simply didn't know them well enough to see it. In those cases, one could examine the movement of the eyes, the way their bodies shifted in their seats, or the rate of their breathing. I saw all of it, even without trying, and somehow I knew their thinking without fully understanding how I knew it. As for my own test, I had finished it 15 minutes prior, but had yet to submit it. I sat at my desk, hands poised over the tablet as I waited to write down my final answer. I had completed it in my mind after only a few minutes, but turning in a test too quickly aroused suspicion of cheating, lucky guesses, or other interventions. And I had learned the hard way that wherever true excellence arose, suspicion was quick to follow. I allowed my gaze to drift around the room, but only my gaze. If I had to turn my head, it meant I'd have to feign a stretch or another useless motion. And honestly, it was more effort than it was worth. I sat one row behind the middle to get a better view of the majority of the class, giving me the insight I craved into how my peers were faring with the assignment. Too far back and the teacher might think me a loafer. Too far forward and every action might draw unwanted attention. Arthur was going to be done soon. He was in the front corner near the door, a poor position. Not only was his field of view limited, but it was the seat delinquents frequently sought when they arrived late to class and didn't want to appear disruptive. Arthur made enemies he didn't need by sitting there. I noted the little jerk Arthur made when he entered his final review phase. He sat upright a bit harder, running his hand across the back of his neck. I submitted my test and focused on Mr. Fenton. He was always a disinterested teacher, none of the eagle-eyed vigilance of Crenshaw or Mrs. Logan. Fenton's hands-off and eyes-down style had been helpful in avoiding confrontation for me so far, but today was different. Fenton was more than just disinterested. He hunched on his desk over his table, his small frame nearly doubled in on itself, as he did his best rendition of nonchalantly blocking any peering at his work. I made a mental note to talk to him after class, if for no other reason than to express my observation about test sounds. Arthur finished his review and sent his test. He gave himself a moment for a broad smile, and a turn to revel in the satisfaction of beating everyone else. I met his gaze as he turned, and he gave me a sly grin to show his dominance. Arrogance is a poor face worn by a fool, my father told me once. I was 4 years old at the time. The test now over, the students hurried to leave. As the final period of the day, Mr. Fenton's class always saw a quick exodus, and even Arthur remained behind only for the briefest of head nodding and gloating. Within 2 minutes, all of the other students were out of the room. I spent the time making a show of cleaning up my bag and looking for something important. I approached Mr. Fenton. How are things? Fenton leaned over his tablet and looked up with a pinch at the corner of his right eye.
Oh, fine, fine. Thank you for asking. Always good to see the students taking a moment.
He smiled. I was unconvinced. Something was off, evidenced by the repetition of language and the positioning of the body. That pinch in the eye had to mean something. Good to hear, Mr. Fenton. See you tomorrow. I left the room and followed the wall absently with one hand as I considered the information I had just received. I greeted the secretary and provided my name. She gave a curt nod.
What is this about?
I took a seat to the side of the door. A small issue with my last class. I won't take much of the headmaster's time. Her expression remained that blank look of anyone forced into a service role without the underpinning passion.
I'll let him know.
No sooner had she finished speaking than the door opened.
Headmaster Corin gave a broad smile. He was genuine with a certain iron reinforcement, eyes engaged and brow raised slightly. He was a man that cared about his job and its intrinsic purpose.
Come inside, Alphonse.
I walked through the door and took a seat. Headmaster Corin let the door close and sat on the edge of his desk.
What are you doing here today?
It's about Mr. Fenton. I'm certain he's stealing from the school.
Corin drew himself up a little in shock. Why would you even suggest that?
I puzzled over the question for a moment. Proof was required, and my gut feeling wouldn't carry enough weight. I overheard him, I said, knowing it was a lie. He was on a call after class bragging about how he was getting away with it, and nobody suspected him in the slightest. Corin frowned his disapproval.
I don't think you knew what you were hearing.
His statement didn't entirely surprise me. I'd brought Corin information about other illegal activities I'd noticed in the past, largely among the students. These observations range from drug use to sexual harassment. Some things I didn't report on, such as cheating or skipping class, but the larger and more dangerous activities always found their way to his ear. I'd done this for several months, slowly building our trust, though I couldn't say why I was doing it.